is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check.
Good evening, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City at Bahamas every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Our telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. You can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. Our producer in studios is Mr. Wale. In studios, always doing a fantastic job here on Guardian Radio 96.9. And I want to say some thanks to many of my friends out there and persons who listen to the show just about every Friday. It amazes me. I want to give a shout out to my friend Santana Forbes for giving me the thumbs up for doing an awesome job on Guardian Radio. My boy Adrian Dantley, you lie to Hay Street. I want to say thanks to him for telling me to keep up the good works. And also to many others who listen to Inside the City on Friday, I want to say thank you very much for really taking the time out to listen to a show that really is a show for Bahamians. A show that we have many solutions, and what a show, what it's supposed to be like, you know, a real life show. So here on Inside Inner City, we talk about real life situations, you know, and we try find solutions and we bring on the right set of people. Today on Inside Inner City, we are supposed to have Mr. Travis Robertson stepping in the studios for a few minutes. I think he should be here about now. If not, if he's not here present in a few minutes, we would try to continue the conversation with the next topic. But in the meantime, he said he would be here. And the reason why I'm having Mr. Robertson, the honorable member for being a grandstand, is because he is seeking re-election for the Bahamdan constituency. He has been working very diligently in the community for about 4 or 5 years now since he became a member of parliament. So it's good to have him on the show. Also, we'll be having his opponent, Mr. Watson, sometime, Wade Watson, who is also seeking to be the next representative for being a grandstand. He seems to be a very nice man. I'm seeing him campaigning hard through the community of being a grandstand. He has a set of supporters. So, you know, between Travis Robertson and Mr. Watson is going to, you know, it's just about how the people feel about the performance of Mr. Robertson and how people accept a new candidate who's looking to be elected for the great constituency of being a grandstand. If Mr. Watson has resonated with the people, he seems to be a community-minded person. I've talked to him a few times. Seems to be a very nice guy. Talked to some of the players who he took on this wing. They speak highly about him. And like I said, he's been campaigning very hard. Mr. Robertson has been campaigning hard. But I just want the general public to know, if any one of these men were to succeed on being the next reps, if being the next representative for being a grandstand, whether it's Mr. Robertson being elected again or Mr. Watson from the PLP, who seems to be gaining traction, if he is successful in winning the great constituency of being a grandstand, the task is not going to be easy. Because I just want to bear in mind that the type of volume of people living in the Bahamian Grandstand community tops over 20,000. It could be anywhere from 40 plus to 45 to 50,000 persons I reside in our community. Being in Grunston is a community that also has the highest unemployment rate in the whole country. It also has one of the highest crime rates in the country. So you're looking, you're looking at some very, very, very serious problems you're going to have to deal with, even if you're elected. Mr. Robinson has been working for the last 4 years. He knows what the community needs and wants. As far as my my intake on Mr. Robinson, have I worked with him? I've done one or two projects with him over the last 4 years. Nothing too much. The reason why I never put no pressure on Mr. Robinson is because I know the challenges he faces, because I've been doing this for 27 years and I've been working in the Grunston community. And I know how difficult it is just to be able to bring constructive programs, bring ideas to tuition, go out and get sponsors to come and invest in you so that you can invest back in the community. All this takes time. It takes a lot of patience. There's a lot of ups and downs. So Mr. Robinson has been working very diligently in the community. He has some people, campaign members, campaign generals, you know, they are very frustrated with him. Many of them have switched from the Free National Movement and gone over to the Progressive Liberal Party spot, Mr. Watson. So it's a back and forth battle. I hope that people understand that being a Grunston is a community that can't rely on $100,000 per year. There's no way in the world it's going to be able to be able to make a drastic change with $100,000 sniping that the MP who is elected for that community, he gets that budget, something that the Honorable Hubert Alexander Ingram introduced as a way to let each and every MP, whether you're PLP or FNM, to take this funds and find creative programs in the community and try to assist, the vulnerable people in the community. And even though it's a great gesture to receive $100,000 off your constituency, honestly speaking, anyone who is going to inherit and be the representative of being in Grunston has to have anywhere from $2 million to $3 million per year if they want to make a real change in the being in Grunston community. Because you're dealing with people who has their light off, you're dealing with the highest unemployment rate of set of people in that community. You deal with people who are paying rent, some sleeping in cars. You're talking about persons who aren't working. You know, you're talking about persons who under the age of 18, 19, and they don't know what to do and how they're surviving. They're just making ends meet. You know, so this is very serious, you know. Many people, it's election, yes. I'm not concerned about who wins the election, as far as I'm concerned. Because over the course of my journey, I've understand that if you don't get up and try to do something constructive and try to get the support that you need to make a change in your country, then you'd be back and forth. So I've dedicated myself to make myself more stronger, get the support I need to make some programs happen in the community, and to make sure that it can be financed properly and that it does not lapse. And we are always held accountable for any funds coming in our organization, which you can see has been very successful in the Lewis Creek area, especially Denahan Bahamas. So they've been doing an extremely great job. So I just want to say that and bear in mind that on my end, I'm not concerned on who wins the election. But it should be a concern for others, because I'm not relying on who wins the general election. If any one of these young gentlemen, Mr. Watson, who is representing the Progressive Liberal Party and looking to be the next member of parliament for the Bain and Grunston community, if he is successful in defeating the young Travis Robinson, then I will try my best to see how we can work together with some ideas and some programs, see how we can better the community to make it a better place for those who need it the most. And then if Mr. Robinson wins his particular seat, I also would lend my services to Mr. Robinson, not say to go to him. No, sometimes there are programs that we can assist one another with as a community leader, and him being a representative, just as Mr. Watson from the Progressive Party. If he's successful, there are programs we could wait to get and take the pressure off one another, because we are doing things to better the community. And I don't think we're doing things to outshine one another. I think now that we understand that community leaders are the key and builders of the community, that anyone who claims and comes to power would invest in the community leaders in the community who are doing great, excellent work. And again, I feel that when you're looking at the highly populated community of being in Grandstand, honestly, $100,000 can't work. I think if you're not talking about $2 to $3 million per year, you're not going to make a difference. It's going to be the same problems are going to be there. And it's like starting over. Not saying that anyone who comes into power or being a representative can't introduce program, but his budget alone of the $100,000, what it would be given to him, ask the member of parliament for that constituency, too little to make the changes that we drastically need. You know, I just want to bear in mind that. I don't know if Mr. Robinson is going to be able to make it, but we still be waiting on him, because we have, it's only 6:45. All right. I want to give out a community announcement for a very great person. Former Assistant Commissioner of Police, Mr. Ferguson, who is the head pastor at the Big Harvest Community Center, situated in the Grandstand community. His father passed away, and his father is Bishop Cyphus Ferguson. You know, he passed away this week. He was a pillar in the community. You know, he is a former chaplain of the prison, one of the founders of the prison fellowship. Founders. He is also a Bahamas World War II veteran. You know, he's an ordained bishop in the Church of God of Prophecy. So I want to send my condolences out to the Ferguson family for such a loss. He lived to see 95. Wow. He was really blessed. You know, see 95. I just passed 45 the other day. You know, it's to be 95. Wow, that's crazy. You know, and I guess that's the work he put in. And God has given him a few extra generations. You know, 95. Wow, that's crazy. You know, we got young people who die in the age of 35, 20, and, you know, under 50. So this is a blessing in disguise. So he had to be in the pillar of a man. Again, Cyphus Ferguson, bishop, okay, son of Mr. Ferguson of the Big Harvest Community Center, situated in the Grandstand community. Community announcement. Yes. If I'm judging the candidates and representative who are running for office in the upcoming general election, I think it's on the 16th. I think it's 2 weeks away. It's hard. I think most people would try to judge this election coming up here based on the performance of the leader of the party. I think many people would like to have their say to the polls. So I think it falls on the leader, how the leader performs. If you look at the last general election, the main people really votes government out, you know, every 5 years. You know, if we don't feel that you're trustworthy, if we feel that you could do better, if we feel that, you know, you're lying to us and think we're being arrogant, you know, saying things that is inappropriate, some members of your particular party, you know, breaching protocol, and they're allowed to get away with it. The Bahamian people, you know, we vote you out. So I guess it's a little difficult for the candidate, especially who is the government right now of the country. Because like I said, if the leader has offended many in the country, if you listen around town, but you know, you never know. It's likely they could win the government again. Can't say, you know. So I just hoping that, I'm just hoping that we understand that there's a bigger problem in the country. And that bigger problem is we have a lot of problems. We have kids out of school who are roaming the streets. They're not getting their proper education. They lost their bearings. That means they're not focused. Many of them can't even spell their names now. Some of them are so caught up in the streets now, they can't even remember their homework. They can't do their homework. Light is off home, so they can't focus, you know. Things are tough with the COVID-19, so there's a lot of stuff going on. I hope that we understand that once this general election is over, that there's a lot of work and a lot of ground that we're going to have to cover. Right? There's a lot of work and a lot of ground we have to cover. We have to find ways on how we can get these kids back in school. You know, we got to find ways on how we can get these kids interested in their schoolwork again. Because if you look at it in the last year and 6-7 months, you would see the kids all about in the streets. Camp Road, Fox Hill, Grandstand, Bainton, you know, Angleston, you know, and there's no one there who, how I would put it, tutoring them, or, you know, and the reason that is happening is because with the COVID-19 restriction, the parks are closed, and then with the social distancing, and then, you know, with the restriction, so community-minded persons who do their programs in the community, like tennis, basketball, like football, softball, etc., they can be able to perform or get the kids together because of the COVID restriction and then the surge and the COVID-19, so it's up and down, so there's none that can be set on a schedule, because the schedule can change any second, at any minute. So it's been very frustrating for community-minded persons who like to give back their time to assist the community. Yeah, you know. Kids, them, some of them are just roaming around the street, throwing rock, throwing bottle, and they're just pretty unoccupied, you know? And we need to focus on that because that's going to be a big problem to us. Remember, for a child, their first 5 to 7 years is basically where they learn everything. And right now, where the closure of schools and the virtual reality, what the Ministry of Education is implementing, is working to some extent, but many of the children who are home, like I say, don't have access to proper electricity or proper internet or proper tablet. So it leaves many kids out. So we have a lot of work that needs to be dealt with. All right. Before I get to one or two little community, what I'd say, I'd call it Bahamian news. We're talking about water and sewage. Executive Chairman Adrian Gibson. I want to talk a little bit about that a little later on in the show. Explain to the general public when we are talking about these things, we need to understand these procedures. Yes. I also want to talk about mandatory COVID-19. It seems more and more that we are leaning towards making COVID vaccine mandatory. We're seeing with our U.S. Embassy is saying now that Bahamian people traveling to United States of America is going to have to be vaccinated to travel to the U.S. So the U.S. is making it mandatory. On our end, as far as our constitution's concerned, you know, I like to read. And if, like what's going on with the College of the Bahamas, we're seeing where they said that be vaccinated or have test result for UB campus entry. The Board of Trustees at the University of the Bahamas that someone entering the school's campus and facilities must show proof of being fully vaccinated or present a positive COVID-19 rapid test effective from next Monday. Well, maybe boxing off test results. Well, it's a two-way street. It's kind of fair. Be vaccinated or have the test result. It's fair. If you want to be vaccinated, that is fair. If you want to get a PCR test, that is also fair. And how the U.S. are saying now that the humans traveling to the U.S. will also have to be vaccinated in order to get their visa. Well, I won't be traveling to the U.S. no time soon. And I'm not discouraging anyone from taking their COVID-19 shot. This is my personal choice. I decided I'd wait, see what's happened. Try to keep up my immune system strong by eating the right food and make sure that if I show any signs or any symptoms, I myself will lock myself up for about 2 weeks, make sure I have the funds to sustain myself for that 2 weeks and get the best medical advice, and then I'll use my herbal, and then I'd see how it goes from there. And when I was talking about the university, again, I don't think the vaccine should be mandatory because anyone in the country has the right to decide if they want to take some or not. But the U.S., they're making it mandatory with the military. Now they're making it mandatory for Bahamians traveling to the U.S. to be properly vaccinated in order to get your visa. But see, the difference between us and the U.S. is that we follow our constitution, and our laws are based on our constitution. In our constitution, anything that deals with mandatory is against the constitution. And if we ever made this vaccine mandatory in this country, then we have no democracy. Okay? We have no democracy. So I don't know how we're going to cope with this COVID-19. It's not going nowhere. We should show a sign of relief. We don't have the Delta screen here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I was doing some research so we can put a thumbs up. But honestly, we're going to have to live with this COVID-19. And like I said, many of us are going to die. Many of us are not going to get the COVID-19. Just like many people will never die of gunshot. Don't care how violent the country is. Don't care how much gun shooting. Not everyone's going to get shot. Not everyone's going to die in car accident. So not everyone in the country is not going to get the COVID-19. So I don't care how you put it, not everyone's going to get the COVID-19. Just like everyone didn't get AIDS, just like everyone get cancer, just like everyone get diabetes, and et cetera, it's the same Iran, you know. It's always a balance. So we're just going to live through it. For many persons who have lost their loved ones, you know, my condolences goes out to many family in the country right now. As I turn left and right, I've hearing so much people pass away. And the only thing you can do is send your condolences and block a prayer. You know, if I don't know you, I try to find some type of feeling, you know, for that individual when they hear the sad news, because I know very well that, yes, we might not be connected, we might not be family, but I know deep down we are three, and somewhere deep down, we actually are family, but we never know in this life. And you also always should have compassion for those who are passing away, because so many people are hurting right now in this country. You know, so many people, families right now, have lost great family members and they're in pain. And I'm glad to see that the morgue now has been able to get many of those persons' body out of the morgue based on the fact that the COVID-19 has had a backup on the Princess Margaret Hospital morgue, and many families, you know, didn't bury their loved one in a timely fashion, and many of the bodies were in the morgue and et cetera. And it must be very hard for your loved one knowing that they passed away and you want them to rest in peace. But they ain't resting in peace. They're resting in pieces in the freezer. And it extends your grief and your sorrow because of the extended time their bodies is there. So it's not like they're going to release the body anytime soon. So I was glad that you had a minister of health, Mr. Wells, stated the fact that many of the bodies are being collected now. And we must remember that many Bahamian persons were going through a very hard time, and families were going through a very hard time. So they didn't even have the funds to go and get the body from the morgue. Yeah. So I just want to say, you know, to all those families, you know, we will survive. COVID is not the end of us, okay? Because we come out of serious dilemmas like HIV, AIDS, you know. We have come out of the world war, and many of us are still here. You know, so get the fear out of your heart. We'll make it. But for those along the road who will pass away, you never know who's going to pass away, and many more will pass away. My condolences to those family who loved ones will pass away, you know. To be strong, be vigilant, and make sure sanitize your environment. Anyone you see coming on with a cough or flu, distance yourself. Make sure you talk to them so that they get medical help. If you don't talk to them, let them know that, you know, it's not good to be coughing inside the house where kids are. So you ought to be responsible for yourself, you know. COVID is real, it's man-made, and it's mutating. So that's how dangerous it is now, you know. You could come up with all kind of vaccine and et cetera, but at the end of the day, every time you bring in a new vaccine, the virus is mutating. It's just the same thing with roach in your house. You know, you buy a can of Bagon, you spray it in the house, right? You see those boys, you see the mother and daddies, they dead. But the babies would get immune to the Bagon, okay? So you'd have to change the spray, okay? You'd have to change the spray to red. And then, you know, you have to keep on mixing the spray, because if you don't, the roach will get used to the Bagon and to the red. So it's the same as this COVID-19 virus, all right? It is mutating. So for us here living in the country, look on the internet. Look for plants and fruits and vegetables that can build up your immune system, okay? It's very important that you do this. Prevention is better than cure. And then if you want to get vaccinated, you should. But at the same time, get information when you feel symptoms, because you have to be very careful. A blood clotting. Many people have died of blood clotting as a result of the vaccine, even though they're not admitting it. But this is being proven worldwide. So you have to be very careful. Or if you feel any or in your hand or in your chest somewhere, make sure you consult a physician, because you could end up having blood clot. And blood clot right now is the leading cause of many poisons that are in the Princess Margaret Hospital. You know, so bear in mind and watch your surroundings. If you're in a house with more than four or five people, make sure you sanitize yourself. Make sure Got your spray the aerosol, and et cetera. You wash your hands, you know, et cetera. Well, yeah. So, yes. All right. So, that's a very great now. Ministers, Bahamians. So, let me read it anyway. Ministers, Bahamians. They will need vaccine for U.S. visa. Okay. Prime Minister Dr. Huben Minnis claimed yesterday that the U.S. government will soon require all people seeking a visa to enter the country must be fully vaccinated against COVID-19. You must all get vaccinated, said Minnis during a Free National Movement rally in Auckland. And again, I'm going to say this. I could care less what the U.S. is doing when it comes to their country. We here, so-called independent country. We have a constitution. Nothing in this country tops the constitution. If anything is made mandatory in this country, then we should scrap the constitution because there's no more democracy in this country. I don't care how you put it, okay? Democracy means, hey, I have the right to choose. Just like I got a right to choose between the PLP and the FNM when it comes every 4 or 5 years, and that's a decision that I have to make. And notice, they ain't telling you COVID-19 got to make you make the decision if you're going to vote for the PLP or FNM. You see, so COVID is not all our decision. That's just a joke. But COVID doesn't make all our decision. And we have to be very careful of fear. Fear is the most dangerous thing humankind can ever have. Fear makes you make the wrong decisions. And when you make the wrong decision, it's going to hurt you later on in the future. Okay? So just protect yourself. Or anyone coughing, showing symptoms that looks like COVID-19 and et cetera, make sure to talk to them. Make sure to see if you could give them some medical advice or, you know, check your bush medicine. That also can help because of antibodies and et cetera. So the producers have to take a break. So please don't go nowhere. We'll be right back after the break on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM.
Welcome to the inner city.
Ain't no love in the heart of the city. Ain't no love in the heart of town. Ain't no love in the show not for pity. Ain't no love cause you ain't around. You were mine, oh, I was feeling so good, cause your love lit up this whole neighborhood. But now that you're gone, you know the sun don't shine, from the city hall to the county line. And that's why I said ain't no love in the heart of the city. Ain't no love in the heart of town. Ain't no love.
Now that your age is not everything, now that your kids call you for advice, now that you can achieve anything you set your mind to, why stop? Nourish your strength and energy with Ensure. Ensure provides protein, antioxidants, key vitamins and minerals to support your immune system. Now that it's your moment to enjoy your vitality, why stop? Your life, your health, your Ensure.
Our free pick, pack, delivery service gives everyone in the Family Islands a chance to shop a variety of club products and prices right from home. Simply call or WhatsApp York 2-677-7266 or email order at amlfoods.com. A friendly customer service representative is waiting to pick, pack, and deliver your order to the mailboat of your choice. The options are truly endless, and with membership, you save even more. So order today and let Costright pick, pack, and deliver right to you.
At a time when jobs are hard to find, crime is a concern, and Bahamians are uncertain about the future of the country, there is one paper you can rely on as your source of news and commentary. The Nassau Guardian delves deeper into the issues. We ask the tough questions. We tell your stories. If you haven't already, pick up a copy today. The Nassau Guardian, news and views that matter since 1844.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome to the inner city, inner city, inner city.
Ain't no love in the heart of the city. Ain't no love.
We're back on this wonderful Friday. It's night now. It's kind of wet outside, so please drive it. Do care and caution, because if you get an accident right now, the Princess Margaret Hospital is over full. So I want everyone out there to be extremely careful to make sure that you don't get injured. If you're riding motorbike, please drive with due care. If you're driving a car, drive courteous. You know, no time to be speeding and taking chances. Make sure if you're in the kitchen, you know, don't cut your hands severely. Because, like I said, the hospital right now is packed. It's a real emergency. You will be basically would have to be there for hours to get served. And I also want to say those who are going out to the local bars, you know, the bars close at 9 o'clock. I want those persons to be aware of their surroundings. Because like I said, right now, the hospital is packed. So I know you're bored, so you go to the local club to just clear your head. But sometimes you have other people who have bad intentions around the club with bad intentions, like I said. And sometimes, you know, knives, stabbing and shooting. So I want to advise you girls around the nightclubs and bars, be vigilant. Keep your eyes open if you see any argument. It's time for the exit. And if you are approaching a man from an ex-human being and they start a row with you, just keep it more quiet and go home. Because a lot of persons right now are going through a lot of tough times and they're ready to lash out because, you know, they're frustrated. Nothing's going right in their life. And the only way they can get rid of their frustration is by violence. And you got to be very careful when you go out. So when you see any nightclub you go in where someone is rowing, immediately leave that location and go home. Because if you get hurt now, the hospital is full. Okay? Always remember that. I just want to read the UBA's new COVID testing policy. It says here, some University of the Bahamas staff members and students yesterday criticized a recent announced policy which requires unvaccinated students and staff to take COVID-19 tests at their own expense to be able to enter the campus. You know, the irate stakeholders said they were blindsided by the decision, which was made without proper consultation. Tish Lewis, the Student Governance Association's Deputy Director of Finance, said the organization has no position on COVID-19 vaccine, but said there is particularly concerns about the last-minute nature of the announcement, as well as the decision to require students who frequently do not have much disposable income to pay for 2 tests each week if unvaccinated. A lot of students are full-time students, and they don't work, Lewis said. So who's going to pay these funds for them? I was talking with the kids, but we were saying, yeah, well, Ms. Lewis is saying that even students at the University of the Bahamas would not be able to take the PCR test twice a week because many of them are not working. The COVID-19 for the last 18 months has knocked people out of their work. And so it's a high unemployment in the country, so there's no income coming in. And if they do not want to take the COVID-19 vaccine, you know, then how are they supposed to get their education if they don't have the funds? See, when testing comes, and this COVID-19 was not a fault of the Bahamas. So the Bahamas government is going to have to pay for this. You know, when it talks about testing, anything tested in the country falls under the government. These students, even though they might not have the money to pay for the PCR test every week, but they still pay their taxes. They pay their water bill at home. They help pay the water bill at home. They pay their car insurance. They pay for their car to get licensed to ride the streets of Nassau. All this is taxes. So when you're paying your light bill, when you're paying for your car license, inspection, and insurance, and all that stuff, all that's your taxes. So the government should be able to know that the country has been in a down spiral for 18 to 19 months. And the COVID-19 is the fault of country we call China. And they should be held responsible for any PCR testing. And even so, if they are not responsible here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, then our government, knowing the situation that the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Hubert Alexander Minnis, shut down the country. And because of that, many persons today are unemployed. Many persons don't have a place to live, okay? And many people right now, this minute, don't have food to eat and trying to find some means or some way how to get something to eat, all right? So, yes. So, the government, when it comes to this PCR testing, when it comes to the University of the Bahamas, the government should pay for the PCR testing, because if I don't want to take the COVID-19 vaccination, because it would violate my constitution right as a citizen, because as a citizen, I have the right to decide on what goes in my body and what goes out of my body. So if I decide not to get the COVID-19 vaccine, then I should not be discriminated against. You know, and this here is causing a lot of problem in this country when it comes to this mandatory talks. You just see that a corporal, a police officer, if I'm correct, on Facebook, and she was pushed by a senior cop because she was not vaccinated. Do you see where the divide is coming in? And do you see where democracy is being destroyed? Now, that's a fellow officer. And according to her statement, you know, you could see the gash on her head, and she got pushed, and then she fall down, and then she hit her head. And this is a woman, a female. And I don't know if it's a man or woman, ASP or superior, but it seems to be a male. And he pushed her down. So you see where discrimination is coming in? All right? If she didn't want to take the COVID-19 vaccination to stop her from coming in the dorm, if she was just wearing a mask and she had to PCR testing, she still is protecting herself. So she still is following protocol. Okay? Carl, you're going to have to hold on for a few minutes. The producer walk out for about a minute. He should be right back in about a minute or two. So stay on the line, and then we take your call. But these are the things that I want you to take notice. You see the infighting? See that female officer? She has the right to decide if she wants to be vaccinated. All right? She has the right. And if the information is correct, and the senior officer of the Royal Bahamas Police Force pushed her, then she needs to sue the commissioner. She needs to sue the attorney general. And she needs to sue the Royal Bahamas Police Force because it violates her constitution and she was hurt on the job. And I think she deserves every penny she gets. You know, mandatory. Mandatory. Y'all people, be careful. The world is never going to be the way it was before. And you got to be careful that they take away your rights. And we go right back into slavery where you can't do what you want no more because of this COVID-19. It's bigger than this COVID-19. Something fishy is going on here. Because now it's like a divide in the country where we got Bahamians who talking to people who get vaccinated, and those who don't get vaccinated are being discriminated against. This is very, very serious. And that's a prime example of that. I think it was a corporal, female corporal of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And an ex-officer pushed her because he refused to let her in because she was not vaccinated. It's a right. So who gets to make the decision? Who gets to make that decision? I'm waiting on the producer caller. He hasn't reached back yet. He should be here in a minute or two. I said that about a minute or two ago, so I'm very sorry about that. We got 40 more minutes here on the show tonight. So we have big talk around town. I see everyone is up in arms over the fact that Water and Sewerage Corporation Executive Chairman Adrian Gibson in Salt Pond, Long Island, you know, he's been accused of giving contract to a specific person, you know. And it's being brought to the attention to the media. And it's all over media, and we're talking about it here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Well, let's get into this. Okay. Let me hear a side of the story. Gibson says he is a victim of smear campaign, and it could be a smear campaign. You know, it could be. Could not, it might not be a smear campaign, but let me hear. He says, Water and Sewerage Corporation Executive Chairman Adrian Gibson, who, you know, has come under fire in recent days, you know, over the award of contracts at the corporation, said yesterday he did nothing wrong and is the victim of a smear campaign because he got put water in the constituency because he put water system in the constituency of Cat Island, Rumkey, and San Salvador. And MP Brave Davis, you know, documented leak to the media last week revealed that Water and Sewerage Corporation awarded a 3-year, $4,700 per month cleaning and maintenance contract to a company whose director has the same name as a woman Gibson identified as his fiancée. While Gibson issued a statement on Sunday, he failed to say whether Ms. Markey, who signed the contract on behalf of Elite Maintenance, was the name Alexandra Markey he identified. So, what is your take on that? So, we're up in arms about this situation here. Ask yourself this question. How long have Mr. Gibson been involved in government, and how long has he been a member of parliament? If I'm correct, I think this is his first time serving as a member of parliament. So, if this is true where he is awarding contract to etc. ask yourself this question. How could a young, aspirant, this what you call it? A young member of parliament who's just serving his first term can actually find ways to what we call milking the treasury legally. How did he know that? In other words, I'm saying to you, if he's this young, this is his first time serving as a cabinet minister, okay? He didn't know nothing about corruption before, okay? Now that he's got in the government, he's a part of the government and a sitting member of parliament, how is he, a young man, is able to be accused in a matter like this? Now, he hasn't responded to the matter yet of the allegation. So there must be some truth to these allegations. And again, this is a process here that goes on with the system. See, Mr. Gibson inherited a system that was already a corrupt. See, Mr. Gibson, who is a young, inspiring MP, right? He had to learn the system. You know who teach people the system in government? You ever hear of people named permanent secretary? See, let me explain something to y'all people in this country. Learn about government. MPs come and go. Permanent secretaries are there for life. Okay? And they the ones who serve either government, PLP or FNM. That's what they call permanent secretary. Okay? The producer hasn't reached back yet. I hope he comes back in time. And he watched the PLP coming in. Watch the FNM come in. And they stays there. They know how government run. So when a young minister like Adrian Gibson comes, he don't know how the system works. He has to be taught the system. Okay? For him to even do this bidding process like we talk about. He learned that because he inherited a system. As young as he is, he inherited a system. So it necessary is not Mr. Gibson's fault. It's the system's fault. And any government gets in power will look after their party supporters, will look after their family on both ends of the floor, the PLP and the FNM. This is nothing new. This is nothing to even be alarmed about. Yes, it may be wrong, but there's nothing illegal about what Mr. Gibson is doing. Because the only person who could put Mr. Gibson before the court if there's something done illegally is the Honorable Hubert Alexander Menace. Okay? We saw it with Shane Gibson. We saw it with Frank Smith and et cetera. And we saw that they won the case of technicality. And you see a similar matter and reference to those cases to what's going on right now with Adrian Gibson, Honorable Adrian Gibson. But I want you to understand what I'm saying. It's the system, people. You know, the permanent secretary don't serve PLP or FNM. Yes, they might be a part of the party. Some permanent secretary are not a part of PLP. Some are not a part of FNM. They're just there to serve the Queen, right, and the government. Okay? You want to know how I know that? Now retired permanent secretary. And I don't want to call his name, but credibility. He was a senior permanent secretary at the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture. And he explained to me, because I was inquiring on how the system works. So he said to me, I love what you're doing in the community. And I got sent to the Ministry of Education by the minister at that time. I think it was the Honorable Desmond Bannister. And he sent me to a Pacific person to see how they could assist me to get a basketball rim to put on H Street Park, because the H Street Park basketball rim, they got damaged and I wanted to replace it. So I went to the ministry responsible for that and I ended up hooking up with the Honorable Desmond Bannister, who assisted me and sent me to a Pacific permanent secretary who ran out and got me the rim and the bag board, and we were able to put those up on the Hay Street Park. So I wanna, and that was about 15 years ago. So while I was talking to the permanent secretary, he said to me, say, even though the minister sent you here to me, he say, if I don't want to help you, I take your my file, I take your file with your name or with your contract or whatever I'm supposed to help you with, and I take that and I put that to the very bottom. Then I put some other files up, and the minister's too busy going to cabinet and going to the host assembly, and he is there all day, and he takes time out on his off day where he comes to the office, you know, if the host is not in or parliament is not in, have to brief him. You know what he said? You think I got time to be in the minister? He said I could care less about the minister. See, the minister can't do nothing with me. He said, me, I watch the minister before him come, and he gone. I'd watch him come and go. You know, we is the one who dictate on how government run. We know how government run. We is the one who teach the minister on what needs to be done, and we brief him on what can be done and what cannot be done. Now, he makes some decision, but guess what? If I don't like him and he don't like me, I just wait him out. See, if he get voted, I wait back on top again. You understand? So it's more like the permanent secretary of government. So what I'm saying, it's a system. It's a system that corrupts the politicians, like Adrian Gibson, if I'm so sure. You can take the score. They'll be invading on you a little while. Go ahead, caller. Sorry for taking so long.
Every sick.
I'm good.
All right. Thank God for life.
Yes. I'm here a little while.
Huh?
I say, I'm here from you in a little while.
Yeah, but I try to tune in, though.
All right. Go ahead, bro.
I listen to you, and boy, I mean, Scrooge, I know where to start. But let me just say, I had some experience around the permanent secretaries too, and uh-huh. They teach me a lot. I mean, different from, there's an old British comedy show, what used to come on called Minister, you still can find it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Different from that, it shows me, although ministers them come and go and they have the power because the people elect them and they're the ministers, the permanent secretary carry a lot of weight.
That's what people don't understand.
And the secretary too. I met one before, I think he's retired now, Mr. Carl Brennan.
Yes.
Yeah, and he teach me a lot and all, and that's years ago. And I think he used to be the culture before.
What some of the things he tell you?
Well, he just you know, show me. Oh, one thing he advised me to practice patience.
Yes.
In spite of minister give a directive or tell
right.
you something. Yeah, and I guess he was telling me, in other words, to respect the office what he hold.
Right.
You understand? Although he's the undersecretary, they get plenty power. Mm-hmm. I guess the I don't know what they call out the permanent secretary, the head one, the chief one. I think that's the cabinet secretary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who it is now, but they have to all of them have to answer the undersecretary, the cabinet secretary. I mean, the undersecretary and the permanent secretary have to answer to the cabinet secretary, I believe.
Now you saying you're speaking that right there? Mm-hmm. I bet you plenty of behemoths in the country don't even know what you're talking about right now.
Maybe not.
You see, but I know this and you know this. You see?
Yeah. Yeah,
they serve the queen. They don't.
Yeah. And guess what? Just how we said, you're right with the queen. And just how, so that tells you they have a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And although they could make you or break you, that's the same way. If something go wrong, yes, the minister has some responsibility. But the permanent secretary is like, I don't know. You know how to get that proofreader to see if something true or false or something. If somebody says something, you go proof check it or something.
Yes.
But that's what the permanent secretary is supposed to be. He ain't nothing supposed to slide through.
No.
I mean, I shouldn't say nothing that's abroad, but some things will slide through. Some things will be intentionally, but the permanent secretary carry a lot of weight, mm-hmm. even the undersecretary.
Mm-hmm.
Scrooge, one of the things I want to ask you about, I don't know if you already touched it, but did you hear the president of the hotel union? And I say better late than never, but I wonder why it took him so long. So many people who were so glad to get back to work,
mm-hmm.
allow the hotels and other people to take money out of their salary because they don't want to take the vaccine, or they ain't ready, or they ain't get enough information yet to take the vaccine. They have to take a test, and see, every 7 or every 5 days or
the
something.
The PCR, yeah.
And the hotel owners, I guess, and employers, them are saying, Well, they started pay for it in the beginning, but they stopped doing it.
They have to.
Yeah, I guess that's saying to force you or encourage you to go take the vaccine. But at this time, the president is saying it's illegal.
It is illegal. Look at the Constitution, my brother.
And he's saying that all of those persons who was getting money takeover for the COVID test
should be reimbursed.
They should return the money back.
Yes.
To them.
Yes.
Understand?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think it's a serious thing. You know something? We don't have to be in this problem, you know. I think it's a lot. I'm not trying to say. Let me say it this way. It's a lot of good things what Dr. Minnis and yes. the FNM has done in the last 4 years, in spite of all the struggle yes. with these schedule. But one of the things that what I don't like is this COVID test. The same way they're all about begging for vaccine, right? Mm-hmm. They could have been begging. I mean, you go to the United States, I think some of the tests or all of the tests is free. For COVID tests.
It's a word.
This is all about the greedy and not yes. the needy. This is like a money-making thing. You say it's something bigger than COVID. Well, I thought about thinking like this is a money-making. It's like the break here. They want to scrape everything out of the poor people. I mean, the people can hardly find food. The landlord tired of them won't put them out. And they still telling the people, you hear what they say? If something happened to us and becoming the Princess Margaret Hospital, I won't believe I'm wrong with what I think and they say. They say they want you to take a COVID test first. They say that everything will be smooth, you're going to be able to move through, but they don't want you to come up there.
All right, my point.
And if you come up there, they want you to take a COVID test. I mean, it sounded like they were saying they really want you to pay for it. They didn't sound like they were offering that, unless they have a policy where they're doing it, but I don't know about it.
Well, that's all I can say. Mm-hmm. Anything that deals with mandatory, I'm not for it. If you're saying we're going to pay for PCR tests in the coming hospital, right? That falls mm-hmm. on the government. I'm a taxpayer. Mm-hmm. Deduct it from my license fee. Deduct it from my water bill. Deduct it from my electric fee. Wherever you want. I'm not paying for no PCR tests because I didn't bring COVID to the Bahamas, all right?
Really?
COVID came from China. That's the World Health Organization problem.
Yeah.
And the Bahamas government has no right to charge no one for no PCR tests living here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
It's got to be a money-making thing.
Yes.
This is so wrong. I think one of the hospitals was not bragging, but they were saying how much money they make last year in the COVID when it first started, how much they make off these COVID tests and stuff like that. And I saying to myself, I mean, people in the business for a reason, they into making money. I can understand
mm-hmm.
that. But I mean, you got to have some kind of shame. I mean, you know something? I cry shame on any government what in power. No, these people are supposed to have the audacity. They're supposed to have some shame about themselves. They're supposed to understand how important the COVID testing and the COVID tracing is after you do the COVID testing. They help you to know how to deal with the situation better.
Yes.
And they did not do it. They didn't let the people get it free. I hear them bragging, but how much million dollars, not bragging, but they were saying who's millionaires and who's stuff. I say, I wonder how much of them in them different constituency, can any one of them candidates who get money paid for, like, you know, let the people know, like, if you need COVID tests, like, we willing to pay for it for you because we don't believe that you should be paying for it. And if we get in power whatsoever, that we'll try to change something like that. So but in the meantime, we know you're having difficult times. Now you can hardly buy food.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put 100,000 or 150,000 or 120,000
for the community.
Just to pay for COVID tests.
And the Bannon Grunt on community.
Listen, people feeling it, but feeling it all over.
Yes.
Hey, one last thing.
Go ahead.
What about what Marvin Dames and Randall Wells them were saying? They say, we still got to wait to see what the prime minister could say, but I mean, in time running out, and then I know some, I think it's a possibility some police officers and different uniform officers and people who won't vote early next week, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them might be in quarantine and nobody answered them yet and say nothing about it unless I miss it on the news. And I feel like they're saying that people who are in quarantine, they shouldn't be allowed to participate. Now, I didn't say bring
They don't have to come out.
No, they don't have to come out.
They don't have to come out. You can come to me.
We get
cameras, we get phone, we get all these stuff. They could vote. You just come to me.
We get justice off the peace.
It's technology, my brother. It's technology. It's technology. It's technology.
You don't have to go nobody host the final, you know?
No, it's technology. We get technology.
I think they should not be discriminated.
No.
I think you shouldn't discriminate in that way.
Listen.
But to tell you the truth, they get something what they call asymptomatic or something like that, where you say you could have COVID and you ain't sick, you're still strong.
Mm-hmm.
But if you test for COVID, you'll see the test will show you that you have COVID. You know how much of them people could be on the line? How they getting forced that? I ain't saying let nobody take no test. I'm just saying they talking about the people who in quarantine. They ain't want them participate. But you know how much us, I mean,
COVID forbid, is going to stay here with us.
God forbid. You know how much people will be on the line. What I think could be a COVID spreader. In spite of Renwin, they'll say, before you push your finger in the ink like what we normally used to do.
Yes.
But some of us don't like it. You say they can spray something on your hand, let you sit down for a couple of seconds. I still believe in spite of them doing that, this will be a God forbid, a super spreader event. Pushing your finger in that ink, man. Some of the people don't know they have COVID.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I don't know how they're getting forced. Keep up the good work, Scrooge. I can finish. Listen, brother.
Thanks a lot.
Right.
You always do great on the radio. We're going to take this next call. Let me just ask you a question. We hear all that about hand washing, right? I bet you never, you know, one say this. We always hear about sanitize your hand, wear gloves, or et cetera. How come they ain't talk about the money? All this money being, how we been spending to super value, super wash, all this money. Why they ain't say something about the money? Why did they tell you stop using cash? Think about it. With the COVID-19, right? Everyone was dealing with cash, you know? But they never talk about that part. You know, they tell you wash your hand. How could you wash your hand if you're going to the food store, if you're going to the washout, if you're going anywhere to spend money and you're interacting, you're taking money from people from all around the country, right? See? And you see, all kind of craziness. Boy, I know. Okay. We can take this call. Go ahead, call out. You're on Inside Inner City.
Yes, good afternoon, Dwa.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, man. You know what they saying, right?
Hey.
You know, we ain't living in no bubble, right?
Yeah.
You know, we're not living in any bubble. Look at countries all over the world, right? Where vaccination is becoming mandated. Just right in the United States. Schools and then mandating that students faculty are vaccinated to enter their school. COVID vaccination. Right? Now in those cases, if you choose not to be vaccinated, then you go right? Now watch this. Why in the Bahamas be trying to be different? You know, they're saying, all these people in France, they protest. They protest all they want. They still just, government still ain't bowing to them. You see? But things and up in the European nations, you know what I'm saying? We didn't want to do the best practice things. Like the livable wage, public housing, and the income tax. We don't want to do these things. You see, the single payer, our health system, and then we're not the private insurance, and then everybody's mandated to pay public health insurance. Health insurance, you know, they could go get the private if they want, but you have to do the pay into the public health system too. You see, what we do is the middle class and the rich. They enslave the poor people. See, the poor people will always be with us, you know, and. You know that, Coach. You know how many people in your neighborhood, right? On the area that you have your deal, right? How many of them make $600 a week?
$600 well.
Huh?
Well.
Okay, now. And all of these communities, you go even Golden Gate, Elizabeth Estate, all these areas, the mass majority of these people live below livable wage. Watch me. And we got these lawyer politicians, these doctor politicians telling us that it's our fault. They're not responsible. We're not educated, and we can't make more than $600 a week. Come on now. Now, they know we have a DRS. So if you know we have a DRS, you know the vast majority of us ain't educated. Am I right or wrong, Stuart?
Yeah, I listen in.
So therefore, if you want to talk about democracy is majority rule. So they should be governing for us. They should be making legislation for us. You understand what I'm saying? The livable wage legislation. You understand me? You see what they're doing now? They got this thing where they can sell the government rent loans, man. You think that's sense? They supposed to be billing more than you get. Far short is too much. They need about 1,000 rental units, at least 1,000, with 4,000, 5,000 rental units. They can sell the couple they get. These people, so what they can do, where the poor people can go. Yeah, good?
Yeah, you call her. Yes, 1 second, we have a little technical difficulty, and we'll be right back. Stay on the line. We have about 15 more minutes before the show closes out. You just want to take this small technical difficulty. We'll be right back after the break.
Cause you're leveling up this whole neighborhood. And now that you're gone, you know the sun don't shine from the city hall to the county line. And that's why I said ain't no love in the heart of the city. Ain't no love in
ain't no love.
Now that your age is not everything, now that your kids call you for advice, now that you can achieve anything you set your mind to, why stop? Ensure. Ensure provides protein, antioxidants, key vitamins and minerals to support your immune system. Now that it's your moment to enjoy your vitality, why stop? Your life, your health, your Ensure.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome to the inner city, inner city, inner city.
Good night, and we are back on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge. And we're going to continue our conversation. Carla, sorry about that. It was me who kicked out the plug. The producer, he knows his stuff, and he already knew what the problem was, and we corrected real quick. You know, that's Wally for y'all. Okay, go ahead, Carla. You were saying? You still there? He left? Yeah, he made a good point. And like I said, we don't understand government. We're seeing this here as a big matter with Adrian Gibson, Minister Adrian Gibson. If all the allegations adds up, he has not responded, because sometimes you can't respond to truth, you know. Sometimes you got to try to propagate it. Sometimes it's good to remain silent. And in this case, this practice is being done by many members of parliament on both sides of the boards. This is what you call being a party supporter. You have to screen the party group. You have to screen your family. And as a minister, I'm going to look out for my best interest. I'm going to help one or two or three people along the line. So this practice here, what you're seeing this minister doing, it's on the practice on both parties. PLP and FNM, they've been doing this for many, many years. And that is passed on. See, Adrian Gibson didn't know nothing about this when he entered politics. He had to learn this. And he learned this from a system. And many other MPs who come in power will learn the same system. You understand? They taught this. They know how to get money out of the treasury legally without breaking the law. And this is legal. And by the way, I just want to remind everyone that the only one who could put him before the court is the Honorable Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Hubert Alexander Minnis. And I want you to bear in mind that when these guys swear, they are swore to secrecy. Second swear they do, after they swear to the Queen Elizabeth and her ancestors, the second thing they do, that anything that's discussed in Parliament, why is they in the government, is held secrecy. So you know what that means? They can't even be held responsible for these actions. You understand? That's how serious it is. So you need to understand how government works. You need to understand about the permanent secretary, and you need to understand on why we are hot with Adrian Gibson. But there's many more to be hot with over the course of the last 40 years. It'd be remarkable to do. Okay? Okay, we're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Godly Danger, this is Jack in a voice along with you, Scrooge.
Hey, Brimman, what's up? What's up?
I'm right here, man. Let me show you something. We understand government. There are some people who don't understand government. Government keep the poor people poor so they can get rich. And the people they got working for them can get rich.
Yes.
That's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
The majority of people in the country, they are poor people, but they pay their bill. If they don't pay their bill, they go to court and stuff like that, and they find money to pay their bill. But guess what? It's only the poor people who suffer. Mm-hmm. Okay? And something needs to give. Something needs to happen. You think the rich people paying any tax? the majority of rich people, like what got houses, second homes and stuff like that, they bring their stuff from their country, man.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
We got to pay the big price for our stuff right here in Nassau, the poor people.
Yes, sir.
So tell them to behave themselves.
Yes,
we
sir.
We know what's happening.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your time.
Yes, thank you very much. And it's good that you, Bremer, know that. See, we don't understand government. We see this thing here with Gibson. This could be actually true. But what he has done, he is not the first MP to do it. He is not the first Free National Movement MP to do it or the first PLP MP to do it. It's just a back and forth thingam that we need to get out of here. This is how government runs and how government works. If I'm a Free National Movement and I'm in government, I have to take care of my people. Okay? I always tell people this. Y'all don't understand. If I'm a PLP, I'm going to look out for my people. And then I'm going to look out for one or two people who they recommend me to. You understand? That's how this goes. So don't be alarmed. You know, it might be wrong, but it's legal. And many MPs do this. Many have got caught. And how do you think this information get out? It could be a PLP subordinate who know about the contract and took a photo of it and revealed it to the news media. Or it could be a disgruntled Free National Movement member who was disgruntled with the minister, and he leaked it. You know, or it could be someone, like I say, on the PLP side who got the information and passed it on to the press. You understand? That's how this information is get out, because this is secrecy. You know, those letters, those things are confidential. So if they're confidential, you see them come out, it's from a reliable source who works in that department, who is disgruntled, whether he's a PLP or FNM, disgruntled, and they're trying to get back on the minister. But this year, this practice here has been going on for many, many years in the country. And this year is how you go milk, it's how you milk the treasury. But most importantly, you ask where your VAT money go? That's where your VAT money go. It goes to behemoths who are inclined to get incentives from members of parliament who are in government. That's where your VAT money go. When you see this layer, $4,000 this year and this, that's where your VAT money go. Now you understand where your monies go? Your monies go to the Bahamian people who are affiliated with the PLB or FNM, who is a friend or acquaintance or get recommend, and they pass a contract down, and this is what you call milking the treasury, and this is the legal way to steal the treasury. And then they also reported, I see my friend Monty Miller talking about the matter, and he wants an investigation done. Well, we'll see if an investigation is going to be done, because we have to get that answer from the Honorable Prime Minister, who has remained quiet. Okay, we're going to take this next call.
Hey, what's going on, Scoozy?
Good night.
Yeah, bless it. Yeah, thanks for, you know, giving me a little intricate knowledge into the framework of legal plausible deniability that they use to just deny. So, you know, like, because if, you know, if we don't, like, you know, we can sit and talk and listen to people talk about, oh, this against the Constitution and this violating the Constitution and this and that, the Constitution, right? But if we don't stand for the Constitution and with the Constitution and we sit down and talking with being violated, that ain't really going to make no sense, you know.
Yes.
Sitting and talking with the Constitution saying it's what you're saying.
Yes.
If you don't rise up, you see where the world is headed, right?
Yes.
And the two callers made sense, right? I think that's Pumpkin the Blind one. I don't
yes,
know.
Yes.
I think Pumpkin is making sense. And I wish I could remember what Pumpkin was saying, but I really would like to comment on it. But I think I got what he was saying. But there's another caller, he made sense also, but he's also upholding this forced scientific dictatorship paradigm that he really knows nothing about, right? Now, the thing is, Scoozy, you know, you hear me use the term viral merry-go-round on the radio, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Scoozy, you know, you see, they get to realize what I'm saying is correct, right? But it doesn't matter right now, Scoozy. What happens is, that's when they say the majority are bringing me down with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because even doctors and people them refusing to take certain vaccines or vaccines,
yes.
Right? But what I'm saying is, you're pitting the vaxxed against the unvaxxed. And so the fact that vaxxed transmission has already been proven, and vice versa, so someone who don't have it could still transmit it to someone who's vaccinated, people who are vaxxed, right? And so one thing with the new strain, they're saying the C12, this doomsday, this the words they're using to put the fear. So they're saying it's coming out of Africa. I said, why the waste strain got to come out of Africa?
I thought it was just a
viral immune escape has already been established, right?
Yeah,
right?
From China.
But they saying up with the variant out of Africa. But what I'm saying is, Scoozy, because I was trying to explain to the public, they're going to have us in a viral merry-go-round, mm-hmm. because of the mutations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what, see, they don't understand it like me. And so the fact that other people, well, she talked in the key of Forbes, and I want to be, I can tell you that because I remember she saying the vaccine is not the panacea of all, and she explained to us, you know what I mean? But the fact that they didn't, people don't really, wasn't talking about other medical interventions. And so it's not until Governor DeSantis or whatever, I think, spoke about the monoclonal antibodies. I think Robert was calling and talking about really Regeneron, but Regeneron really is the name of the company.
Mm-hmm.
What the treatment is a monoclonal antibody inducement.
All right.
So I think it's the newer name, so Trivimab, and then one other was Bamlanivimab, and it's the MABs, monoclonal antibodies, that's what it stands for. But there's a bunch of them that is different from a vaccine, but Bill Gates on the radio, I mean, on TV talking, but I've been mentioning it over a year now.
Yeah, you was.
But so what I'm saying is, they can follow things. I don't understand the science.
You
but
understand
I prefer if they correct me on the radio when they say something. But the fact that 75% of the people with the breakthrough cases in Massachusetts were vaxxed. So I was wondering, what's the sense of the paradigm? You still have to wear a mask. So you still should test people them. So what's the, I see, it's kind of like God is bringing the truth and backfiring them. Then you have to juxtapose. Six officials from the Food and Drug Administration resigned in the past 3 months. Two just in the last couple of days, and they made a statement to the effect saying they were being coerced into making a statement, agreeing from Big Pharma and government. And so we all know that Big Pharma and governments have hijacked humanity
mm-hmm.
under pseudoscience. And so I listened to the administration the other day that's in America, said they did a study on the lab leak hypothesis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is now... The results end up is no inconclusive. It's dubious. But what I'm saying is, when you look at, let's forget about everything. When you look at China actions, or rather China's inactions, and then if I do a crime and there's a overwhelming amount of circumstantial evidence against me, but I still, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. So like, the WHO officials admitted online and on the radio, on the TV, that they didn't get access to raw data.
Yes.
China took down proteome databases. See, school is 52. Who's ride a bicycle and give the little girl a huge top and give them doll and thing and feel sorry when he can't give them money, right? Because I see the suffering in the ghetto, right?
Yeah.
And I try to talk to the politician, but I don't see life is meaningless unless you're helping one another. And I don't see.
Yes.
I come from a different community. I end up living, you know what I mean? I see this way to the shop, right? But the youth, I feel the pain. I see the pain. So it's not about me anymore.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? But we where humanity is headed, the people have no idea. As you mentioned the technology.
Yes.
I saw in Saudi Arabia the first robot has gained citizenship.
Yes.
But a lot of people don't know where we're headed. Schools,
yeah,
but,
technology.
Yeah, but we need to. But technology can be used for good and bad.
Yes.
That's what we have to realize.
We got to know how far to use it.
Yeah, but
we complete the other time, so get it real quick. We complete
the
other
question
time.
Is, we need to have a debate on cross immunity and herd immunity.
All right.
I'll explain it to you later. All right. Bless
okay. Well, you need to come on. I need to get you on the show to come in here and talk on it.
Yeah, but schools, they may kill me because they don't want you to know the truth. You know what I mean?
Maybe they know the truth. I just want to say that I want to say thanks to all my persons who listen to the show again. My friend Santana Forbes, my good friend Adrian Dantley, to really screen him and his girlfriend. And I know he's saying gentleman on Market Street listening to the show every Friday. I want to say thanks to everyone who took time to listen to the show. And just like, remember what I said, okay? If you make anything mandatory in this country, it's against the Constitution. And if you make it mandatory, then the bombers has no constitution. All right, democracy is dead. Okay, if you make anything mandatory, and if it had to mandatory, listen to me. The freedom will be taken away. Adi Hanna, Sir Lyndon Pinlan, Marlo B. Butler, Sir Randall Fox, Alvin Brennan, all of these great politicians who fought for equality and freedom. All of that will be thrown away if it becomes mandatory in the country. All of your freedom will be gone. So we're completely out of time. I want to say thanks to Guardian Radio 969, my producer Wally, for doing a standing job. And we'll see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Again? I represent Bahamian people.